This morning we talked about the grace and mercy of God, and we follow that up with two sides of the cross. Side that Jesus had undergone for our sins, and the side that we as Christians fit in. Now we're going to be talking about walking with Jesus. We're going to discuss, first of all, an introduction. Secondly, the elements that build a relationship with God as something that we as Christians should be following. And then we're going to conclude our lesson with some closing thoughts. For Christians, walking with Jesus is a way of life symbolizing a close, ongoing relationship with Him. It's about aligning one's life with Jesus, His teachings and example, choosing to follow His lead in all areas of life, from relationships to personal goals. The walk requires faith and trust in Him and His guidance, even when the paths ahead seem unclear. We have, as Christians, should follow Jesus' example throughout our lives, in our personal relationships and our personal goals. Christians walk with Jesus by cultivating a daily relationship with Him through prayer, studying the Bible, and actively seeking to live according to His teachings. It involves aligning their lives with Jesus' example, submitting to His will, and following Him in every aspect of life. Christians have a personal relationship with Jesus, just as the song we have sung, where He is seen as a close friend and Savior. The goal is to draw near to God and experience His presence. And we don't do that by walking up a road of sin. And we all fall short of it. So with that, how does a Christian build a relationship with God? What do you think?
Well, I started with attending church services, including the classes, reading and studying the Bible, offering up prayers to God, and having fellowship with other Christians.
Exactly. Prayer is important. Prayer is a means of communicating with God. Just as you communicate with a family member, you talk things out. We talk to God through prayer in Jesus' name. As Di had said, study the Bible. It's important to incorporate that in our daily worship. Live according to Jesus' example. Following the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit when we're baptized. Follow His lead. And finally, gain spiritual growth. Die hit all those on the head. That's our duty as Christians. So what is prayer?
Communication with God, talking to God. I think it's a gift. I think it's a gift from Him.
Absolutely. It's a gift that He had given each and every one of us to communicate to God through Jesus. sharing their thoughts, and seeking God's guidance. Go to God in prayer and ask for wisdom. Ask Him to help you with something. Prayer connects us with God, and that's important. So what does prayer include?
Thanksgiving, praise, atonement, petition for family and friends and brothers and sisters in Christ, and just pray without ceasing.
That's right. It includes asking for needs to be met and guidance for help. That's called supplication. Another example would be thanksgiving, expressing gratitude for blessings received. And as Eileen said, praising God, adoration. Praise God for His attributes and nature. And one important one that we all should be using is confession, acknowledging our wrongdoings and seeking forgiveness. That is so important in a Christian's walk of life. Here's an example of prayer. Can I get someone to read Luke chapter 2, verses 29 through 32?
Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel.
Thank you very much, Vicki. Who said that prayer?
Wasn't that the priest that saw the baby?
Simeon, right.
Amen.
And just before he died, he came up with this prayer in the temple when he held the baby Jesus in his arms. And it's interesting in his prayer, in verse 32, he said, this child is going to be a light of revelation to the Gentiles. That must have blown the Israelites' minds when they heard that. Hey, look, we're the chosen ones. But yet, this individual, this baby, is going to be a light to the Gentiles. And why did he say it?
He was inspired.
Exactly. He was inspired. The Holy Spirit led, and he had the opportunity to see Jesus before he died. That's an example of prayer. We pray for people. We pray for guidance. We pray for people who are sick. We ask God for help. We pray for guidance in our lives. So use prayer. It's a very powerful tool. Next element is Bible study. What is Bible study? It's a loaded question. Go ahead, Carol.
It's understanding it, reading the Bible or listening to about the Bible to understand what God expects of us. And to see examples of people who either succeed or fail in life, and those who succeed in trusting God and how it helps them in their life, too.
Very good. Anybody else want to add to that? Bill and then Faye.
It's the time we spend in our Bible when we're not here, studying on our own, reading, and besides organized study. It's where we come up with questions to ask you.
I don't have all the answers, believe me.
Well, as the eldership, to ask you or our teachers, what did this mean?
Oh, sure.
I don't understand.
And it's not only to study the Bible individually. It's a means of studying the Bible collectively. Where we come to a class, and we share our knowledge of the scriptures to edify one another, to admonish one another through the scriptures. It's important. We find out about God's word and provides us a deeper understanding of Jesus' character, teachings, and will. It's important to follow his lead. And it's a practice within Christian communities, whether individually or groups, who are looking at the Bible for personal, religious, or spiritual growth. That's how we grow. Lead.
And to a state to show ourselves approved.
Exactly. And that's our job as Christians. If anyone on Zoom, and I keep on forgetting to look and ask, just pipe up whenever. And Bible study is about examining God's word to understand it, but also to be transformed by it. What do I mean by that? Bill?
As we walk our Christian life over the years after we're baptized, we should become what we see here. The people in there and the things that we're learning, that should be the person that we become.
Mm-hmm. Good point. So what types of Bible studies are there?
I'm thinking of one, and I don't necessarily do this, but in fact, I know I don't, because to me, it's not really studying, and that's recreational reading. You can just go through it just for the words,
mm-hmm.
but I don't get anything out of it when I do that, so I have to go back and, well, find out where I am first, and then go over what I think it said, and then if I miss something, then I go over to make sure that I did.
Sure, that's a good way of following that. Anybody else?
Word study.
Word study?
Oh, yeah, those are good.
What about character study?
That's good, too.
We study, for example, Joseph. In fact, you could look at Joseph's life and all those Christian characteristics. He fits the bill. He trusts God. He walked with God. And he didn't. He tried to make sure he wasn't sinful. We look at studying books, examining the message of the individual books of the Bible. We also go verse by verse study. We deeply examine each verse to uncover its meaning and application. We talk about topical studies where we focus on a theme, like, for example, faith or love, forgiveness, and follow what God said about that individual topic. We talk about examining character studies. Here's one called the SOAP method. It's scripture, observance, application, and prayer. Kenneth, coupling all those together, prayer is essential. Another area is verse mapping, where we take a verse and detail, examine that verse with its historical contents, its translation, and meaning. Carol?
Yeah, well, I think that maybe the most strengthening Bible study is when you see something and or hear something and it doesn't jive with what you feel. So you have to study it out to try and figure out why it doesn't jive with what you're thinking in your life, and so it helps shine a light on your life and the way you need to change or be strengthened
Exactly. And that's what studying the Bible does. It reinforces the fact that God's way is the only way. Lee?
Well, you need more than just the Bible, too. There's dictionaries, there's commentaries to give you a deeper studying, or a deeper read, that's what I want to say. Deeper thoughts of what you're trying to
You know what the best commentary to use?
The Bible.
The Bible itself. You search out the scriptures and you actively see what the Holy Spirit had given men to send down to us. That's a very good point. Another thing is inductive Bible study, where we examine this text to understand its meaning and then apply it to one's life. There's a lot of people who are into academics, but that's meaningless in the Bible if you don't put it into action. We as Christians have to apply this to our life. And finally, there's exegetical Bible study, which focuses on information from the text. See who the Holy Spirit was writing to and why, and try to understand what the Holy Spirit was trying to tell us. For example, you go to Philemon. Paul is talking a personal letter to an individual whose slave ran away, and he appealed to his Christian morals. And he said that this individual, I know he was a slave, he ran away, he became a Christian, and he's a devout Christian. How do you treat him? If you want to take vengeance on him, take it out on me, because I will vouch for him. This is Paul's personal appeal through the Holy Spirit to an individual, Philemon. And finally, read the Bible, read the book. Pay attention to key words, cross references, and the context. Context is pretty important. So, with that, how do Christians live according to Jesus' example? Carol?
Yeah, well, I first thought of when Jesus would be teaching, and when he finished, he'd tell his disciples quite often that he had to go alone, away from everybody, to be alone to pray with God. And I can only imagine that he prayed for strength. He prayed for those people that he thought of during the day that he saw, and for his disciples and stuff. And then, of course, his prayer in the huge time of crisis in the garden. He prayed to God for strength, but also making sure that he was the servant, God was the master, and that he was going to do what God wanted him to do.
He was obedient. He did God's will. Very good. Jesus followed the commands by loving God and loving others. He showed love and compassion. Do we have that in our lives as Christians? Absolutely. We're demonstrating love and compassion in actions, words, and reflecting Jesus' love for humanity. And we find that in the Gospels. That's why it's so important not just to read it once, but continue to read Jesus' life and emulate that in your life. Self-denial. Jesus didn't put himself first. He chose to put God first. And that's what we should be doing. It's a form of self-sacrifice. He was very humble and gentle. practicing humility, gentleness, and patience, which I have to work on, in relationships with others while reflecting Jesus' character. We look at Jesus when he was here. He was very kind to people. He focused on their needs. And we are all sinners. And he wanted to make sure that they have the right information to be saved. He walked in the light, and that's what we should be doing. Living honestly and openly, acknowledging sin and repenting from that. We should apply wisdom. We should seek, we should be seeking wisdom from God's word and applying it to daily decisions in our lives. That's our focus as Christians, by Jesus' example. So how does the Holy Spirit guide Christians? I think years ago we had a study of the Holy Spirit, and it's pretty enlightening to realize that the Holy Spirit is a gift from God to each and every Christian. So how do Christians, how does the Holy Spirit guide us in our Christian way of life? Bill?
One basic thing is the Word of God. Our Bibles came from through the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our guidebook. That's God's owner's manual.
Christians walk with Jesus, guided by the Holy Spirit, by actively putting the old self and embracing a new spirit-filled life. We as Christians have the opportunity to grow. To grow, and that involves a dependence on the Spirit's power in godliness, obedience to God's commands, and a deepening intimacy with God. It's the way we interact with God the Father. We look around us and we can see everything that God created. And he created for humanity, but more important, he's our Father that created this world. And we should respect that, we should honor that, and glorify him in that. It's a life lived in submission to the Spirit's leading, enabling obedience to God's word, and a transformation that reflects Jesus' character. We let the Spirit lead us. We look at the Bible, and he guides us. We look at the Bible, and we obey God's word. And it transforms us, each and every one of us, to be like Christ, like his character. And that's why we're studying on Wednesday nights Christian characteristics or Christian values, so that we could grow in them. We don't know all that there is, but when you dive into a specific characteristics, we grow. And we add that to our lives to be better servants of God.
Lenny?
Yes?
When you're studying, there's more than one book on your desk.
Yes.
Lots.
Actually, I don't have any more books.
I use my computer. Well, I'm old-fashioned that way. I still do. I want to hold it in my hand.
I have difficulty reading my Bible. And that's why it's so nice to look at the screen. I can actually read the information. And when I, if you come over to my house, you'll see two big screens on my desk. And that's how I study. And it's important to look at not only one translation, but many translations.
And dictionaries too.
Yeah.
Bible dictionaries are wonderful.
They are. And they help us understand the words. They help us understand the meaning of the text, which is important. So we should recognize the Spirit's presence and guidance. The Holy Spirit is the companion and helper of believers, working in and through them. So I always think, well, if I'm sinning, what happens? Spirit goes away. It is one part of sin. So I have to get my life right with God. This involves intentionally seeking God's guidance through prayer, scripture, and discernment. I can read scripture. I can understand what it says, but I have to apply it to my life so that I can be approved of God. Putting off the old self and putting on the new. Walking with Jesus involves actively choosing to resist the desires of the flesh, which is a sinful nature, and embracing the desires of the Spirit. We take an example of the Old Testament, and I use this because children of Israel, they sit, they worship idols, and then they crawl back, take me back, take me back. They ask for forgiveness, they repent. But you look at throughout their history, they didn't accept Jesus. Because Jesus went away from the status quo. He didn't recognize man's authority. He recognized God's authority. And that's what we should be doing. We should be putting off the old way of life that we lived and putting on a new spirit-filled life of living. Or a new spirit-filled way of living. And we acquire that through our, again, applying scriptures to our lives. And this transformation is a process. It takes time. It's not a one-time event. It requires ongoing effort and reliance on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our helper. We should be able to use Him in such a way, and that's God's Spirit, to help us on our spiritual journey here in this life. Again, obedience to God's word. Obedience to God's commandments is a key aspect of walking in the Spirit. The more one obeys God's word, the less they will fulfill the desires flesh. And again, Satan is there to try to pull us away. And living according to God's word demonstrates love for Him and allows the Spirit to work more powerfully in our lives. Let the Holy Spirit guide you in everything you do. Just remember, God has given us His Spirit to help us along our journey. And finally, grow in intimacy with God. And how do we do that? What should we be doing?
Prayer. Prayer. And we talk to God.
Talk to God? Great. Increase our intimacy with God by communicating. asking God for help, just like Simeon. He, in his prayer, he was so blessed by God to see the baby Jesus. The Holy Spirit had guided him to say, look, it's not only just for the Jews, it's for the Gentiles also. And we are blessed in that regard. So walk in spirit. This intimacy is fostered through prayer, Bible studies, fellowship with other believers. It's important that we get together, not as social things, but we get together to worship God. It's important that people do that. If you lack that, there's something missing you on. And finally, as Christians, we should be drawing closer to God, and they become more like Jesus in character and action. That's critical. We have to exemplify Jesus' character in our lives and put that into action. So what is spiritual growth? The last part of this.
Trying to grow in our knowledge and improve in our knowledge and understanding of the word.
Very good, Donnie. That's true. It's a process that we undergo as Christians from the time we are baptized till the time we die. We develop a deeper understanding and connection with God. That's our spiritual journey. That's what we as Christians should be doing. It involves our mind, our heart, and soul in pursuing God's commandments and wisdom. Us as total people, it encompasses everything. Carol, you had
a... Well, God is good, and after he created everything in the first 7 days, 6 days, he said, it is good. And Noah walked with God.
Mm-hmm.
In order to walk with God, you have to increase the goodness in your life, and you will see the blessings here on earth, but mostly you will be drawing closer to God because there is no darkness in him. So it's only the goodness that happens in this life that draw you close to God, and anything that isn't goodness doesn't draw you that direction.
Very good. And it's an ongoing process. It involves exploring beliefs, engaging in spiritual practices, and cultivating a positive qualities like compassion, forgiveness, gratitude. Again, what we're studying on Wednesday nights, Christian virtues. Now, it's important to increase our knowledge so that we can be approved of God. So, spiritual growth encompasses fellowship. It connects believers, shares experience, and encourages one another on their faith journey. Another aspect of spiritual growth involves serving others. Uses one's gifts and talents to serve others. And look at Jesus. Look at his life. Look how he served others. He, at one time, showed the apostles what serving is by washing their feet. He didn't have to do that, but he did. He was making a point to them. We should be serving others.
That was a good show and tell. That was a good show and tell.
Yeah, exactly. Can I get someone to read this? Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40, please.
Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. And second is like it, you shall love your neighbors as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets.
Thank you, Dad. When we read that, and just think, if you were standing there and listening to Jesus, and he said this, it totally changed what the children of Israel were following, Mosaic law. It totally changed their thinking. A lot of them didn't accept it. But yet, you go to the day of Pentecost, a lot of them did accept Jesus' teaching. And this is the way we as Christians should be living. Love God with your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself.
Lenny?
You had it, Carol.
Somebody once said that the word depends, that the commandments depends on the whole world. It hangs the way the universe, it's an invisible thing that holds the whole, like the whole universe holds it together. Love in this way holds all of his commandments together, and they're easy to do if you love God, and they're not easy to do if you aren't his servant.
Exactly. Loving God is primary, and that's the primary focus each Christian has. And then love your neighbor. And that's so important. And finally, walking with Jesus is a continuous process of growing, learning, and transformation. Changing from your old ways of life to the new ways of life. Christians strive to live out their faith in every area of life, guided by God's word, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's what a Christian is all about. I hope these three lessons that I tried to tie together will help us on our spiritual journeys.